Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because Christ our Lord. That is what He has promised us in His Word. What did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. And I would also like to read a few verses from Psalm 86, page 672 in the Pew Bible, the verses 1 through 7, Psalm 86. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to You. You are my God. Save Your servant who trusts in You. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to You all day long. Bring joy to Your servant, for to You, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are kind and forgiving, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to You. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to You, for You will answer me. May the Lord bless His word to us this evening. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, just because we are Christians, we are men and women and children of prayer. At least that is the way it ought to be. For the Lord has made a covenant with us and with our children. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture, and He is our Lord and our God. We are partners together, but the living God is not a silent partner. In a business relationship, you can have a silent partner, one who has invested money in the business but says nothing or very little about the operation of it. But the living God is not a silent partner. He has spoken to His people again and again. In the beginning of human history, He spoke to Adam and to Eve from heaven. At a later time, He spoke through the mouth of the prophets and through the mouths of the apostles. He has spoken to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God Himself, manifest in the flesh. And today we have the Bible, which is the inspired Word of God. God is by no means a silent partner in this relationship. By the same token, the living God does not expect us to be silent partners either. God asks us to respond to Him, to speak to Him. And we do that in the form of prayer. Prayer is words that we speak to God, sometimes out loud, sometimes silently, and sometimes in the form of singing. We thank Him and we praise Him for who He is and for what He has done. And we commit ourselves to doing His will. And we ask Him for things that are necessary for us. But precisely how do we pray? That is a good and practical question. And it is even more important to ask this question in the precise way that our catechism asks the question. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? Our approach to God in worship and our approach to God in prayer is regulated by the will of God. We do not come on our own authority. We do not set the ground rules either for asking or for receiving. And so we come to the scripture this evening with the same petition with which the disciples came to our Lord. Lord, teach us how to pray. First of all, we are taught that prayer must be made to the Lord God. That is the first thing and the most basic thing. In prayer, we are speaking to none other than the living God Himself. When we pray, we are not speaking to ourselves. We are speaking to the Lord God. Occasionally, you will hear a line that goes something like this. Prayer doesn't change things. Prayer changes you, and you change things. Now, brothers and sisters, that may be good rhetoric, but it is very bad theology. The idea of that line is that God does not really hear or answer prayer, and to think that He does is simply religious mythology of a bygone era. Rather, the exercise of prayer puts you in a certain frame of mind, creates a certain attitude in you so that you are motivated to act, and in effect, you answer your own prayer. When you ask God for comfort, really what you are doing is comforting yourself, and you just feel better for having asked the Lord. No, brothers and sisters, that is not how to pray. When we pray, we are not talking to ourselves. We are talking to the living God. Now, I can't explain the physics of it. I can't explain how my words reach the ears of the living God and how the Lord God can hear us even above the sound of the air conditioning from which we are delivered this evening. But He does hear and He does respond. And when we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, it is our Father who hears and responds. Now, actually, of course, when the Heidelberg Catechism was written, people did not think that they were talking to themselves when they prayed. But rather, many people did think, as many people think today, that prayer should really be made to the saints, to godly persons who have died. They are with the Lord, and because they have led such good lives, surely the Lord will be favorably disposed to listening to them if we can persuade them to intercede for us. And so prayers are made to the saints. And we may not make prayers to saints as such, but sometimes people will say to me, "Say a prayer for me," as though somehow, because I'm a minister, maybe you've had the same experience because people know you go to church. People have the idea that because you're a minister or a church attender, that somehow the Lord will be more favorably disposed to listening to you than to them. You want to remember what Priscilla Mullins said to John Alden when he spoke to her on behalf of Miles Standish. "Speak for yourself, John." And that's what the Lord says to each one of us this evening, brothers and sisters. Speak for yourself. You do not have to have someone else speak for you, because the living God says to each and to every one of us, "I am ready to listen to you and to what you have to say to me." Will God really listen to me? Does God have any time for me? Does He care enough about me to listen to my story? That's why I read these verses from Psalm 86 earlier in the service. The psalm begins with these words, "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy." And then the psalmist senses himself to be in deep trouble, and he talks about people who are after him and who threaten his very life. Where is he to go? Directly to the Lord, not to Abraham or to Isaac or Jacob or to the saints of the Old Testament, but to the Lord. "In the day of my trouble, I will call on you, for you will answer me." We make our prayers to God, and God is the one who must answer them if they are to be answered at all. Sometimes we may ask a friend to help us with this or that project, and the friend cannot help because he is too busy and it is an imposition upon him. No need for us to get upset about that. That's just the way it is in human life. But the living God is never too busy, even with a whole universe to take care of. And the Lord never suggests to us that we are imposing upon Him or imposing upon His good nature when we address Him in prayer. The truth of the matter is that the Lord is more ready to listen than we are ready to speak to Him. Now, I know that that's the sort of thing you expect a minister to say, and I say it not because you expect it, but because it's true. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that the Lord is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. How do we pray? We pray to none other than the one true God who has revealed himself in his word. And you, my brothers and sisters, you and I have the right to go to the living God ourselves with our cares and our needs. He does answer. He will listen. Secondly, the Word of God teaches us that prayer must be made for what God has promised. And the way our catechism puts that is very interesting. We must ask for everything the Lord has commanded us to ask for. Did you pick that up? Everything the Lord has commanded us to ask for. The Bible is filled with promises. The Lord promises to care for his people, to supply their daily needs, and all that the Lord has promised is summed up for us in the name of Jesus Christ, who brings to us righteousness and life. And the Lord commands us to ask for the very things he has promised to give us. What are the things God has promised to give us? May I suggest to you this evening, brothers and sisters, that what we must ask for is whatever fits into this petition of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we ask something of the Lord, we must also ask ourselves, is this what the Lord has promised? How does my request fit in with the coming of the kingdom? Take, for example, the matter of good health. Is that something that we can ask the Lord for? Well, apparently it is, because we have an example of just such a prayer in 3 John, verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. But why do we want good health? Is it a matter of personal comfort, personal convenience and well-being? Or do we see the state of our own health in terms of the coming of God's kingdom? Lord, I want to be strong enough to serve you and to do your will and to praise you and to glorify you. Lord, set me free from this anxiety so that I may have the freedom to labor for you. Lord, I want to be strong enough to fulfill the calling that you have given me in this life. It may be a calling in the office, or in the school, or in the home, or in the factory, or some other workplace. That is a calling in the service of Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Lord, I want to be well enough to fulfill the calling you have given me in your kingdom. Lord, I'm making this request of you because I really want your kingdom to come and your will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Psalm 25, David reached the very bottom And he cries out to the Lord, and listen to his litany of woe. I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. Problems inside and outside, problems mental and emotional, problems physical and spiritual. Yes, the Lord wants us to come to Him with exactly these kinds of problems as David does. Why? Because they stand in the way of effective service and witness. Because these problems delay the coming of the kingdom. And so David concludes Psalm 25 with a petition, Redeem Israel, O God, from all their trouble. And you see how David sees his own personal need in the broader context of the welfare of the church and the coming of the kingdom. How do we pray? We pray for what God has promised. And what God has promised is that He will build His church. May God give us the grace to see our prayers for personal peace and prosperity as legitimate as they are. May He give us the grace to see those prayers as prayers for the good of Israel, the Church of Jesus Christ. Then the whole church can join in enthusiastically and effectively as we unite together in our petitions on behalf of one another, on behalf of the church, which is the apple of our Lord's eye. And then thirdly, our catechism teaches us that prayer must be made from the heart. That it must be made from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word. Prayer must come from the heart of men and women and children if it is to reach the heart of God. And the issue is one of sincerity. Do we really mean what we are saying? I once knew a pastor, the pastor of the church where I was raised. He became pastor after I had moved out of the community. But we were talking one time about the opportunity which he had to give a 5-minute devotional day by day on the local radio station, and he said he enjoyed doing that. He would go down to the station and then the message would be recorded. But instead of going down each day, he went down one day and all 5 messages were recorded. And then at the end of each message, there was a brief prayer. And he said he had difficulty with that prayer at the end of the recorded message because the prayer also was recorded. And when a prayer is a matter of a tape going from one reel to another reel, reminded him too much of the prayer wheels of the pagans. There was no heart in it. It was just a machine with a piece of plastic. And he understood from the scriptures that prayer must be from the heart. The issue is sincerity. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. You remember how the Lord chastised Israel and he said, these people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But on the other side, the Lord promises, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. How do we pray? No question about it. We pray from the heart. Beyond that, we pray to the living God himself. And we pray for the advancement of his kingdom. Our personal needs are great, but we can take them directly to the living God with the expectation that he will hear and respond. Brothers and sisters, our catechism gives us some excellent instruction. We have touched on just a few elements. The Bible has much more to say about prayer. The Bible has furnished us with the best example. In this prayer, we see exactly what it means to ask for everything the Lord has commanded us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, grant that this prayer of our Lord may become the sincere offering of our lips, from hearts that are sincere, from hearts that are attuned to your will, from hearts that desire above all the coming of Christ's kingdom on earth, a kingdom of righteousness and peace. Give us the faith to believe that we may come to you and that you will hear us for the sake of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.